You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Brendan, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man, it's going really well. You know, you're a great example of just, you know what, you don't give up on the dream when things don't necessarily go exactly how you want. You didn't get an NHL contract. You went to Europe, and you worked on a lot of things, and you came back, and you earned yourself a job, an opening night for the Oilers. I just kind of want to go back to that year for you in Switzerland. Was it easy to go because of COVID, or was it hard? Because when you're an NHLer, I still think you view yourself as an NHLer. Did you have to, I don't know if check the ego is the right thing, or maybe not let your ego get the best of you to say, hey, you know what, this isn't the end of the line. It's just maybe taking a different route for a short term.
Yeah, definitely. You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. You said it very well. It's probably a tough thing to do. You know, for a lot of guys, for sure, because the ego plays a big part. But you do have to separate that and get rid of it. And for me, it was more of, you know what, it was a tactical kind of plan to go over there and play a lot and learn a lot. And coming off the year that I had in Detroit, where, you know, we were a dead last team and we were always losing, and myself personally, you know, didn't do too well. So it was more of going over there, getting in a very positive environment and getting a chance to play every situation and really kind of just getting the mojo back, you know. That's the main thing we kind of looked for.
Brendan, I actually played in Switzerland as well. I played against Ombre a lot as I was just down the street there. What was that experience for you? Like, you know, some of the derbies they had, and then does Ombre still only have walls on three sides of the rink, and the fourth wall is open to let that cold air blow in?
Did you play in Lugano?
I played in Lugano, yeah. I put on a defensive clinic when I was there.
Oh, nice. I lived in Lugano. That's where they
put
me
on.
Up. Yeah, yeah. So it was an unbelievable setup as far as that. Like, to be honest, I didn't know what to expect going over.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, Kubalik in Chicago, he had played there the year before signing with Chicago. So, you know, I had seen that was another part where he had done well there and then, you know, signed an NHL contract. So for me, it was like, okay, how do I replicate that? And, but yeah, to get back to the, like, you know, you can tell all the people listening, Lugano is an awesome place to live. And, you know, I do Fahrenheit, but it was like sunny in 75 in February. I had shorts on and a t-shirt. And then where we played, like in Ambry, you know, yourself is like way up in the mountains, snowbanks 10-foot high, so I'd wear sandals and a t-shirt in the car and then put my winter jacket on and walk into the rink with my boots on. So yeah, it's a crazy change over there. But to answer your question, that was the last year I actually scored the last goal in that rink. This year they got a new arena this year. So
what?
You know what? I will say this. Sorry if I keep going on here, but
yeah, no, we love.
I will say that going over there, you realize, like, you know, sometimes in the NHL or in things like that, you get kind of like the glitz and the glam will get you sometimes. You know, with the hot tubs and this and that, and you know, you get almost a little bit soft in a way. Whereas when I went there, we had the rink is 100 years old. The dressing room, you're right on top of each other. It's a tiny little room. And you realize, you know, you're like, I'm just here to play hockey, and that's it. Yeah. So you kind of just get on with it, you know. And coming back now to the NHL, I'm grateful to have the facilities that we have. But you realize it's just more about the hockey side and not so much all the kind of other stuff, you know.
Talking with Brendan Perlini, Edmonton Oilers forward. Brendan, you know, just a little bit more, because I found it really fascinating. I was over there. I mean, it's a long time ago. It was a little different. But was the hockey a little surprising to you, even the way that they approached, like, riding the bus? And we used to have, we have chocolate cake at the stop halfway through the game. Like, what are we eating? Or, you know, or the skills practices or the way they lifted weights. Like, was that, you know, quite not different or better, or sorry, not better or worse, but just different than what you'd seen previously in the NHL?
Oh, so different. Yeah, it's crazy. But to me, like, I actually really enjoyed that. Like, just because it was different, you know, and it was a change. And I think where guys get, you know, kind of stuck over there, or when they don't like it, is if they're not open to it and they're always kind of criticizing, oh, they don't do this or they don't do that. Well, you kind of have to just, like, throw that out the window and say, yeah, obviously they don't, like, they're speaking different languages over here. They're not going to know what the NHL is like and this and that, right? So, yeah, the, like, the way, even, you know what, I'll never forget this. I played with Brian Flynn, who was a former NHL. He played in Montreal and Buffalo. And, I got out there in my first game for the warm-up, and I'm not kidding you. Like, you do the little warm-up drills, right? You'll do a two-on-one and stuff. And guys were blocking shots in the two-on-one in warm-up for the game. And, like, they were – I've never seen guys skate as fast and as hard, like, around than our team did. And I went over to Flinter and I said, is this normal? He's like, just wait. You haven't seen nothing yet. So it was fun, man. Like, a lot of the stuff like that, right? You just don't see that a lot of times in the NHL or back here. And it's good to kind of, you know, you get those little stories like that. And, yeah, I definitely learned a lot. It was fun.
Brendan Perlini joins us forward for the Edmonton Oilers. Brent, I sound just listening to you, like, did you get your love of hockey back going there?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know if I ever really, like, lost my love of hockey, per se. I think maybe I just, you know, I think a lot of guys do it. They get almost, I don't know if you want to say blinded just by certain things, whether it's, like, you know, oh, contracts, and this guy's on this contract and that amount of money, and then, you know, this person's getting this opportunity and that. So, especially when you're switching teams, right? You're always looking for opportunities and stuff. So I think I got kind of almost, in a way, blinded by a few things like that, where now it's, you know, mainly just about, hey, just go play the game. Just go play hockey, enjoy it, have fun. Time flies, man. This is my sixth season pro. Feels like I just started junior 2 minutes ago and already in my sixth season of professional hockey, and just really enjoy it. And, you know, don't take anything for granted. Time flies. You guys know yourself. Time flies, and just go have fun and play the game. And for me, when I'm playing, you know, and having fun, that's what you guys have seen so far, like in the preseason, and you see my kind of personality come out, and, you know, I'm playing fun hockey and doing well. So, yeah, it all kind of works out, I guess, right?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, you come in and you've talked a lot about the comfort level. You knew Dave Tippett, and you come in and you're scoring six goals in six games. And yeah, I get it's preseason, but still, it's still against NHL players, and you want to earn a job. Then you come in and, you know, Dave talked about he wasn't happy just how the game went, that, you know, guys, a few guys in the fourth line, you didn't get as much ice time as you want. If this was a few years ago, Brendan, and you woke up today after only playing, I think it was six or so minutes, how much different would your mindset have been a few years ago, you know, compared to maybe today when you wake up after only playing limited minutes because of all the penalties?
Yeah, it's interesting you just brought that up, because I just 5-10 minutes before I got on the phone with you guys, I just talked to my brother. He just finished a game. He's playing over in Norway. So we literally just talked about that, where, yeah, when I was younger, you know, I might have been really upset by that or whatever, because you always want to play the most and you always want to do as much as you can. And but now I'm at the point where, especially I respect Dave so much. Like, Tip has given me every opportunity, you know, this time with Edmonton and also when I was in Phoenix, and everything that he says happens, as far as, you know, he's very straight-laced, and I really, really respect it and respect him. So if he came to me and said, you know what, I want you to play one shift this game, but I want you to make it your best one shift, I would do that for him. That's the point I'm at now. So, yeah, it's regardless whether I play 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or 55, you know what I mean? I'm going to give him my best effort no matter, you know, what the ice time is or anything like that. I'm in no position to, you know, really – go out and complain or this or that. I just come to the rink, do the best I can, try and, you know, bring some positive energy to the room and to the guys and support the guys and help the team best possible.
Brendan, your brother Brett, of course, was playing over in Europe. Your father, Fred, was a draft pick as well in the NHL, drafted by the Maple Leafs, and then he played a long time in Europe. Actually, he was playing for the Guildford Flames, and that's, of course, where you were born. Your dad, man, he was a gifted offensive player. One year, he had 226 points for the Streatham Redskins in 31 games. He had 135 goals in 31 games. How is fast Freddie and Shinny?
Do they count warm-ups?
They didn't say in there that they had no goalies in there. Eh? that's what I say to him too. I'm like, God, but did the goalie even try? Like, I can't even rationalize that. It's unbelievable, to be honest. But you know what? Yeah, he's still got it though. It's one of those things, right? And I'm sure you guys have seen it where. When a guy just has a knack of, like, sometimes they say, oh, the puck is following him or he just gets the bounces. I think it's just more the player, you know, just being smart and being in the right areas. And, like, still when we mess around and, like, my dad is – that's what he does now. He coaches, like, a high school kind of prep program in Detroit, and he also does a lot of skill stuff with a lot of local guys in Detroit, Warinsky, Larkin, myself, a lot of guys. So when he'll, you know – demonstrate something, you're kind of looking at it, you're like, okay, like it's not maybe like the perfect posture or this and that like others may critique, but if he does the drill, it's like it's in the net, you know what I mean? He's just got that knack for a scorer's touch, right? So I hopefully I have a little bit of that. I'm trying to keep up with his stats, but it's pretty impossible.
Now, his stats are ridiculous. So, you know, when you sat down with Dave Tippett or joined by Brendan Perlini, and spoke with him, what did you? I mean, you already knew him, obviously, but what did you hear? What did you guys talk about that made you feel so comfortable that this was the right destination for you?
Well, I think it just goes back to, we always had a really good relationship when I was in Arizona. Like I said, he gave me the opportunity there. And, you know what, we ended, like, unfortunately, after he had left Arizona there, just before that, our exit meetings were really, really well. And he had some bigger things planned in mind for me for the next season and coming back. And so it was kind of cut short, I guess, if you will. I had, you know, he had stayed in contact when he had the job there with Seattle when he was doing that kind of thing, and I was in Chicago. He sent me the odd text checking in how I'm doing. Oh, maybe you can work on this or this. So we've kept in contact over the years, and you know, then when he took over in Edmonton, anytime we would play, you know, I ran into him after the game a few times, and so. Just things like that where you're always kind of in touch, right? And so when I had the opportunity, I guess, you know, coming back from Europe, we were looking at what teams were interested, and then from there, you know, kind of going on, this was one spot that was very intriguing to us where, you know, had success under him in the past. And I think, you know, if I was looking at my previous years, whether it be in Detroit or Chicago, it was almost, you know, you're coming in off of a trade, you're not drafted there, so to speak. So it's not like you're kind of a homegrown talent, if you will. So, you know, they may have been with guys a little bit longer, they know them, so you're kind of almost fighting an uphill battle, so to speak, with just trying to get to know the coach, the systems, just day-to-day stuff. It just takes a while, you know. I think a lot of times when people, you know, like fan-wise, when there's a trade, they think like, oh, boom, it's going to happen right away and you're going to just go crazy and light the lamp. And it's not like that, you know. It's tough flipping your life upside down. So for me, where it was like, okay, I can come in here at the start of the year. I know him. I know his systems. We have a good relationship. you know, it was kind of a no-brainer in a way, right? Instead of maybe going somewhere else where it was, again, starting really fresh, and I don't know any of the coaching staffs on another team or anything like that, right? So that was my whole kind of thing coming here for sure.
Brandon Perlini joins us. I want to. You talked, you know, you're joking with your dad about some of his statistics, and you've played against McDavid, Brandon, and you're a really skilled guy. Like, everybody's seen your shot. Like, you can really shoot the pill. Being up close and personal with any player in the league, I think you have a better appreciation whenever they're teammates. And you've obviously played with some good players. What was your initial reaction when suddenly, you know, it's a day-to-day basis with Draisaitl and McDavid? Was there anything that stood out to you that you were unaware of?
You know what, man, that guy, McDavid, he's a cheat code. He's a video game. Like, it's truly unbelievable to watch him every day. I'm grateful I get to experience it. I've played with Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, a lot of great players, and Larkin, you know, Shane Doan, a lot of really, really good players, and it just... This guy is so far above anyone that I've seen, like, across the NHL. It's unbelievable. Like, the speed is just, like, incredible. And being able to, like, and I consider myself, like, a fast guy, too, right?
Yeah.
I played with other fast players, Athanasiu, Darren Helms really quick. But this guy, it's just, it's incredible. His edge work, the way he can keep the speed turning, turn back the other way. He did something in preseason where I think it was against Calgary. He had came down, he had kind of lost it, but then he regained it, put it through the guy's stick. Somebody tried to hit him. He moved out of the way. Then the other D tried to, like, elbow him in the head, and he moved his head out of the way like he was boxing, like he dodging a punch from Mike Tyson. I was just like, oh, my God. Like, it truly – and I know it sounds a little bit like I'm exaggerating in a way, but like I said, I played with – a lot of guys, and like Connor is just so far above them. It's unbelievable. And you know what? I think the perfect match to like Draisaitl, like, is almost like, in a way, they always say, like, kind of opposites attract, you know, like where he really slows it down. And then you see a lot of times he'll slow it down and then McDavid will come flying through and he gives it to him. And it's just like, how are you stopping that? You know? So it's pretty incredible to watch.
Now, the other day, Leon Draisaitl was joking about McDavid's one-timer and how he's, you know, it's a good fluffer. You're a pretty good shot, so is that the running joke now, his work on his one-timer and then Draisaitl calling it a fluffer?
You know what? I haven't been around enough to even kind of know about it. I mean... However many goals he scores a year, I don't know what more people could want, right? Like,
well, he said, actually, and I was surprised, he's never scored a one-timer, he said. So I guess that's what he's going to work on now. Yeah.
Really? Oh, boy. It's pretty weak.
I didn't know that. I guess breakaways and highlight reels aren't good enough these days, eh?
Embarrassing defenseman's not enough, hey?
Yeah,
it's so unfair.
That's the thing, right? It's always, you know, people are always, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. They want the one-timer after scoring 50 doing highlight goals. It's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, no, well, McDavid was the one who pointed out. I don't think anybody about people just probably assumed, the guy's probably scored a one-timer in his NHL career, but he was the one who brought up to Mike Smith and said, actually, I've never done one, so that's why he wants to. That's his goal. I guess it's always good to have goals. And so, Brandon, now you move ahead. You guys had an optional skate today. You're back on the ice tomorrow. Then you go to Calgary now. What was your overall sense of your team and now in a real game? What did you like about your group top to bottom?
Yeah, for me personally, it's nice to, I was joking with a few guys, be actually on a pretty good team for once. Like, and I say that loosely where, you know, these guys have made the playoffs, they've had success. You know, I was in Detroit, we were dead last. I was in Arizona, we were at the bottom of the bucket for quite a few years. So for myself, it's nice. A, being around the best players and then winning too. That's what you want to do, obviously, right? And here, especially with McDavid and Draisaitl, there's always a legitimate shot at going deep in the playoffs, and if not Stanley Cup or whatever, and that's obviously the goal. So, yeah, I mean, to answer your question there, it was a good game there last night. Obviously, you know, we would have liked to have closed her out there before overtime and all that kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's obviously good to get the first one out of the way and get the season kind of rolling here.
Well, Brendan, I can tell you our text line is lighting up. Fans are loving your openness and your candor and just your positive attitude. Very excited to be back in the NHL. Continued success. You're welcome back anytime. We might have to get Fast Freddy Perlini on the show to talk about his 220 goal season in Europe.
He would absolutely love that. If you guys could get him on.
Well, you set it up, man. Oh, yeah, you got his number. We'll have to, we'll arrange it with Jamie. You and I will talk tomorrow because I would love it. That would be awesome. I saw your mom was gaining a lot of followers on Twitter.
If you think I go on, that guy will keep you on here. You guys might as well do a 2.5-hour Scorsese movie with him on.
We want to go through every one of those 230 goals that one year and see if he remembers every single one.
Just YouTube Fred Perlini goal, and his most famous one on YouTube comes up. I think it's one he scored in Nottingham. And the goalie, I think he shot at blocker side, and the goalie honestly looks like it's just some Joe Blow with street hockey pads on.
Oh, we're going to be Googling it now. I love it. Awesome, man. Awesome.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Brendan. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Take care.